You for you and all that you do. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us safe travels. We pray, Lord God, that you give us safe travels back home this afternoon and tomorrow. Lord God, I pray that you would be in my eyes and my seeing, my ears, my hearing, my mouth, and in my speaking. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Direct your attention to the focus text that your pastor gave me for this service, and it's Isaiah chapter number 60, and I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and 3 from Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to read from cup. Yeah, please. Cup. They know me well. God bless. Thank you so much to my ushers and everybody that's come along. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1, 2, and 3 from the New Living Translation of the Bible read like this. Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. God's word for God's people. For a few moments this afternoon, this family and friends afternoon, I want to preach from the subject, imagining a new city. Mm-hmm. Imagining a new city. It is a difficult thing to be a prophet. Mm-hmm. Prophets do more than rub a crystal ball and tell folk what they want to hear for a fee. Prophets do more than walk around and demand that people call them prophet just because they decided that they want to be called prophet. Prophets often suffer because they speak truths that the privileged don't want to hear. They speak truths that the powerful have no time for, and they speak truths that the people who need to hear it the most choose to ignore. Real prophets who are sent by God have it rough. The Bible doesn't have any prophets' stories that depict main characters that have it easy. The prophets included in our Bible, if they could have chosen a different route, probably would have. The prophets in the Bible were often talked about, mistreated, imprisoned, or called crazy. Amen? By the very people they were sent to prophesy to. No child, I don't imagine, went around telling their family and friends that one day they wanted to be a prophet. And yet, here we have Isaiah, whose name means Yahweh is salvation. As you might recall, in chapter 6 of Isaiah, when Isaiah was called into ministry, he confessed that he is a sinful man with filthy lips, living amongst filthy, sinful people, and God cleaned him up and sent him to prophesy to the people of God. One of Isaiah's purposes was to declare God's displeasure with and judgment upon sin in Judah. Israel, and the surrounding nations. A parallel purpose was the endeavor to turn God's people away from disobedience in order to avert disaster. Mm-hmm. A purpose that was only partially successful. Perhaps the greatest purpose, however, was to lay a foundation of hope and promise for the faithful remnant of God's people. Stay with me. That's where your theme and the subject of this message come together. Chapter 60 of Isaiah's prophecy falls at the end of the last part of Isaiah's prophecy, which is from chapter 40, verse 1 through chapter 66, verse 24. Here in chapter 60, standing in the gap between the shameful people and her glory is the redeeming, avenging God who loves. Here, the new city is described. Imagine with me, if you will, a new city. It won't be like any city you've experienced before. It won't be plagued with what we're used to in the cities we know of. It won't be ruled by the same rulers we're used to, and it won't look like what we're used to cities looking like. First of all, it is light will be God himself. Its light will be God himself. Here in the final chapters of Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah offers comfort and peace. This comes after exposing their false worship with comparing it to the true worship. And after exposing the people's sin and revealing God's Redeemer. In this new city, the light of the Lord is what illuminates the city and the people in the city and allows them to shine that same light on all who desire to see. In this new city, we have the most reliable light that there is. Now, a light's reliability, I'm told, is defined by its ability to perform consistently under stress, whether from environmental exposure, physical impact, or long-term use. Isn't that just like God? Isaiah encourages the people he was prophesying to then and us today to rise and let our lights shine in this new day. And the way we can is not by our own power, but because it's God's glorious light that shines upon us that gives us the ability to shine on others. Oh, people of God, I'm glad today that we have a reliable light in our Lord. It doesn't fade from use. It doesn't require batteries, and it don't lose power over time. For this light is the light of the Lord. Oh, church, like the seasoned saints used to sing with boldness, let your light shine, shine, shine. Let your light shine, shine, shine. Why? Because it may be someone down in the valley trying to get home. Church, imagine with me a new city, one where we shine with the light of the Lord. No matter what, beloved, let us shine. Come what may, let us shine. God is the source of our shining light. So let's shine, shine, shine. Imagine a new city. Where, second of all, there will be no darkness or mourning. The people of God heretofore had been in darkness. Isaiah describes it this way. Here in the first part of verse 2, darkness as black as night covers the nations of the earth. And you know why? In the Bible, darkness symbolizes sin, evil, spiritual ignorance, death, and God's judgment, often acting as the opposite of divine light and holiness. It appears as both literal darkness, creation and plagues, and metaphorically representing a life separated from God, yet scripture notes that even darkness is not hidden from our Lord. Let me repeat that. Scripture notes that even darkness isn't hidden from God. Beloved, have you ever found yourself in darkness? Now, I don't mean modern day darkness. I mean, back in the day, country, farm darkness. You know, back when you turned a light off in a room and there was complete and utter darkness. No street lights shined into your bedroom. No LED lights from power strips on the floor. No home screen lights that come on to let you know that your mobile device is charging. Just darkness. When you get up in the middle of the night for a drink of water or to use the bathroom, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face until you click on a light switch. Just dark. Being in the dark is scary. Whether it's the physical darkness, emotional darkness, or spiritual darkness. I believe that Isaiah is referring to all of these when he talks about black darkness covering the nations of the earth. And I get it, y'all. I get it. If Isaiah was writing today, maybe the darkness he might have been talking about would be the wars and rumors of wars going on all around the world. Maybe if he was writing today, he'd be talking about the darkness left in our wallets when we pump gas. If he was talking today, he'd be talking about the darkness left when we count up our health care costs, or the darkness we find when we see when we have left in our bank accounts after we've come from the grocery store, or the darkness we feel when we awake to find that the rights and privileges that we marched for, that we sat in for, and gave our lives for, are slowly but surely being stripped away one by one in redrawn congressional maps by those who know exactly what they're doing. Oh, but have I got good news for you today. Isaiah says in the second half of verse 2, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. That means that in spite of the darkness, in spite of the darkness, in spite of the blackness of the situation, in spite of the doom and gloom of it all, there is light. There is light. There is light that the darkness has no power over. There is a light that makes darkness cower in a corner. There is light that makes darkness want to run and hide. Oh, there's light that makes darkness want to cry uncle and surrender to the awesome power that is the light of the Lord. Can you imagine a city where darkness takes a back seat to the glory of the Lord? Can you imagine a city where the light of the Lord shines above us all and strips darkness of its power? Won't you join me in imagining a new city where there's no darkness and no morning? Last of all, saints of God, the people will be righteous and faithful products of God Himself. What will this look like? Isaiah writes in verse 3, all nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will see your radiance. But how is this? Isaiah had just finished preaching to them in the chapters that precede our text, lambasting the people for their sin and turning away from God. Now he's telling them that their light will draw the surrounding nations and rulers to them. This is not because of them, but in spite of them and through the love of the Father. Scholars note that Isaiah proclaims that God will come to be with his people and will transform their destiny from darkness as black as night caused by their sin and judgment. And not only that, but this change will be so radical that all kingdoms will take notice and be drawn to God through his people. In other words, the people heretofore not righteous will be made righteous and fruitful by God himself. Yes. Beloved, I'm imagining a city where, in spite of our tendency to be unrighteous and unfruitful, we can be just that, righteous and fruitful. I'm imagining a city where God's light shines over us and through us to illuminate the blessings of God. Oh, I'm imagining a new city where what God produces in us will draw the mighty and the small alike to see the radiance made possible by our God. Let's not fool ourselves. In this new city, folk ain't coming to see us, but the God whose light shines through us. Folk ain't coming to sit at our tables because we have such a beautiful table setting. They're coming to soak up the light of the Lord that shines through us. Folk won't be coming to be wowed by how fancy we look, how well kept our building might be, nor how well we can carry a tune. No, it's the light of the Lord that folk want to see. Chapter 60 of Isaiah's prophecy falls within what could be referred to as a long messianic poem. Recurrent throughout the poem is the subject of the coming Christ, the restoration of Israel, and the ultimate consummation of the form in the form of the kingdom. Jesus, the ultimate light, is described in the opening verses of John's gospel as the light which shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't overtake it. Ah, beloved, our Lord doesn't want us to stay in darkness. So he provides a light. The light to not only guide us out of the darkness, but to shine so that others would behold that light, that others would be drawn to that light and be saved by the light of the Lord. I'm imagining a new city where all that is possible. Will you arise to a new day and join me in this new city? It can start here in Winfield and spread to the rest of the world, as Isaiah did to the people of God in his day. I urge you, people of God, this day, arise, yes. Let your light shine, yes, for all to see. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Arise. Let your light so shine. won't you stand all over God's house?